Ruby, welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 247 on November 5th, 2019. Changing the world, one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. If you prefer to avoid recurring monthly charges, you can always make a one-time donation by simply doing the math. For example, $5 a month times 12 equals $60, and you'll get the same benefits as a monthly patron. The link to make a one-time donation is just beneath the patron button on the right-hand side of my website. And another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, you can use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the very best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. So hey, the donations I'm going to do an update on now are Movember.
Yes.
Officially in November. It started yesterday because I'm recording this on November 2nd. And I'm just going to recap all the donations that I have received so far. I think I've already mentioned how Anonymous Man gave me $25. That was the first donation I got. And that is what got me going 2 miles a day, right? And then Mark sent in $100. Wow, really generous contribution, Mark. Thank you so much. And Rob contributed $5 towards the Movember cause. Rob, thank you so much for your generosity. Really appreciate your donation. And Kevin made two donations. One was a $25 donation, and the other was another $25 donation with a notation that it was for Michelle's birthday. Yes, you all recall Michelle, the Gangbang Michelle interview. This is the same Michelle, my dear friend. So he gave another $25 in honor of Michelle's birthday. Kevin, thank you so much for both of those donations. That was very sweet of you. And then Amanda donated $20 toward the Movember cause. Amanda, thanks so much for your support. Yogesh donated $25. Yogesh, I'm honored that you are supporting the Movember cause that I'm working so hard towards. And Jeremiah donated $40. Thank you, Jeremiah. That was a wonderfully generous donation, and thank you all. You guys are really jumping on this, and I'm very proud that I've already raised $265 towards my $1,000 goal. One of the things I'm going to put a link to in the Linkorama is an amazing new article by Mark Green. I've referred to Mark Green's work before because he's doing so much around the whole man box. And the name of his website is Remaking Manhood. Well, he wrote an article and posted it up on medium.com. The title of it is How Does Male Privilege Lead to Male Suicide? It's a really important and very thought-provoking read. And again, Movember is doing more than any organization I know to work against all of the things that Mark Green so eloquently describes in this article and in all of his work. So give if you can. I'm going to be doing this all month long. And perhaps creating more weird pictures of myself with weird mustaches for your entertainment. The link for that article is going to be in the Linkorama as well as the link for my Mo space, which is where you can donate directly if you want to bypass any kind of Facebook deductions. And then also I'm going to put a link up for my Mo team that I created. I created a Mo team called Sex Educators of the World, because I truly believe that anybody who is a sex positive person in this world by default becomes a sex educator. So if you are totally motivated to jump on board, grow a mustache, do your 2 miles a day, throw a party, whatever you want to do, and join that team, I encourage you to. I will put the link to that team in the Linkorama as well, so you can participate to any level that you are inspired to participate in. And thank you all so much. Let's see, what else is happening? The next webinars are happening November 16th. That is the free webinar day. I've been advertising it all over the place. We're probably going to have a really good time because I think there's a lot of people that have signed up for it this time, which is excellent. You know, now they're kind of going, whoa, it's usually $20, man. I'm going to jump on board. But again, we'll see how many people actually show up because it's when it's free. It's unusual for more than 60% of the people who sign up to actually show up. So we will see, everybody. But I'm still going to have a wonderfully fun day teaching and teaching and teaching all day about my favorite things. What else is in the news? Well, certainly in the news is the fires. California is freaking burning up, you guys. Jesus Christ. The fire that is closest to me is the Maria fire. They've pretty much got it under control because the winds have died down. It was quite alarming because it started in the very same place, or at least really close to the same place, that the Thomas Fire started, and that was 2 years ago. And those of you who haven't been listening to the podcast that long, that is the fire that burned, I think, more territory than any fire in California history, or maybe the United States. It's hard to know. At this point, I can't recall. I don't think it's the most destructive fire, because I think the Paradise Fire exceeded that. Nonetheless, I was, traumatized and evacuated for 5 days from my house. And basically, if you look at the burn map of the Thomas Fire, there's a little green area in the Ojai Valley where I live that they managed to protect. And wow, firefighters are amazing, amazing people. So the Maria Fire was alarming because it started at close to where the Thomas Fire started, but it was completely different. The winds were different, and they pretty much got a handle on it. And despite all of the fires that have been happening in California, the level of destruction of homes and loss of life is far, far, far below what we've had in the past. So that's at least something to be thankful for. I'm good. I'm safe. I just wanted you guys to know. Okay, let's dive into your letters. Well, I haven't talked to you for a while. I've been busy with music, work, and travel, and some family member serious illness. But I picked up a few toys and started experimenting with the back door entrance. I bought a kind of bomb-shaped vibrator thing about 5 or 6 inches long. I thought that that would be a good starting point. Well, I learned pretty quickly that I am not there yet. I can't really get quite enough of it in to do what I need to. Ha ha. So I walked into the local store and bought a gel type 3 dildo set that I thought would get me in the game. That was okay, but even though it insisted it was made of safe material, I got a little nervous because it had a pretty strong smell. And after some internet research, I decided to toss them and think about what might be the best starter kit to get me in the game. I've been keeping an eye on your page here, and I'm your Facebook friend, so I appreciate the work that you're doing. If you have any input, I'd appreciate it. I evidently have a really tight butt. Someone who pops the cherry will be happy, I guess. Ha ha. Oh, it is not unusual, sir. And this is from Jess. So it is not unusual, Jess, to have your eyes bigger than your ass, to have larger goals than your ass is capable of reaching without a fair amount of training, as you say. And you know, that's the whole rule about safety with ass stuff, is you take things slow. One thing that I have noticed is that when men play with their own asses, which, by the way, I so highly recommend. It is awesome that you're doing anal exploration on your own, because that's the way you learn about your body. It's just the coolest thing. And When men do anal exploration on their own, one of the things that I have noticed is that they're so short on foreplay. Now, I'm not talking about how you have to pour yourself a glass of wine and light the candles and buy yourself some flowers. I'm talking about taking things slow, really slow. It seems to me that when men play with their asses, all too often they're just down to fucking business and they don't give themselves a whole lot of time to open up. They just want to, like, get her done, you know? And I really encourage you men to enjoy yourselves. I don't know, take a bath, go slow, play with it, go in and out for a little bit, vibe the outside with a little vibrator toy. There's so many different things that you can do. But I think that there's a level of impatience of, I just want this in there and I want to play. So slow down, guys. Treat yourself like you would treat a lover, because you are your own best lover, okay? So, next point, good on you that you threw away the gel type 3 dildo set. And yes, if there is a scent, a strong smell, then it needs to get tossed into the trash quickly. The reason that the label insists that it's safe is because sex toys are classified as novelties. And what that means in the world of labels and regulations is that there is technically no use for it, which is ridiculous because we're putting these things in our most private spots of our body, right? But with that designation comes the freedom to put whatever they want on the label, literally whatever they want. So please do not trust labels of gel toys that say they are body safe. Not true, and no repercussions for lying on the label, which is a drag because in the United States, we've been pretty much trained to believe that labels are sacred. Well, not with sex toys, unfortunately. So please know that and spread the word to all of your friends who use sex toys. Become the sex positive educator amongst your peers. Good for you for throwing them away. You know, I think that probably the best kit for you, if you can spring for it, would be the B-Vibe Anal Training Kit. And the reason I think it would be the best for you is because it's going to give you an opportunity to try out different kinds of plugs. What's included in it is a small plug, a regular small, and they're all silicone, body safe, totally, a small silicone plug, a medium-sized one that vibrates and it's rechargeable, and then a large weighted plug. What does that mean? It means that the part that's inside you is weighted, which gives it a particular sensation, especially if you're up walking around or moving around. It can give you a delicious sensation against your prostate. People really enjoy weighted plugs, definitely. But besides all those three things, you do get also a basic anal douche bulb to help you clean out, and also a refillable little syringe type thing to get lube up inside you. And all this comes with a case. So it's like your anal play kit, you know, it's pretty cool. And it would give you an opportunity not only to slowly go from smaller to larger sizes, but to see if you like vibrations and to see if you like weight. So that's one of the things I would recommend. I'm also going to put links to 3 different kinds of butt plugs that I cannot recommend highly enough. The first two are the Enjoy plugs. Those are stainless steel, and talk about weighted plugs, yes. The weight of those just feels delicious on the inside, and they are fine for long-term wear because the neck of them is quite slender, and they're all stainless steel. They come in a variety of sizes. The B-Vibe snug plugs come in a variety of sizes as well, and they have a very slender neck, so they are perfect for long-term wear. They're pricey, but wow, they're just one of the best plugs out there, absolutely. And you'll see the difference when you look at them, that those snug plugs have this very slender silicone neck, whereas the kit that I recommended at first is a little bit larger. So it depends. If you just want to do play when you're by yourself, then the ones with the larger neck probably aren't going to be a problem at all. But if you're actually thinking about putting one of those lovely plugs in and going and making your deposit at the bank or buying the bread at the store with a smile on your face, see how exciting I can make this sound? I can make it sound exciting just to go buy some bread and make the deposit at the bank, because if you have this amazing plug in your ass that's giving you delicious, pleasurable sensations. You might find it kind of hard not to get a hard on. I've heard guys tell me that before, but I've also heard that it definitely puts a smile on their face. So anyway, the B-Vibe Snug Plugs. And I'm also going to give you a link to the Fun Factory Booty Plugs. Those come in a variety of sizes as well. And, you know, at some point in time, you might want to look at the B-Vibe Vibrating Snug Plugs. They do have a couple of those, and those are awesome. And the podcast just before this one is the one that I talked about those, and a lovely listener gave us a review on those and gave us a bunch of information about how he liked them. So there's going to be a lot of links to butt plugs in the Linkorama for you. And I'm sure one of them is going to be exactly what you need. So happy anal explorations. I hope you enjoy what you get. And please do let us know how you like it and how it works. Because in these new stages of exploring your ass, like I said, it's not uncommon to have your eyes bigger than your ass. But what I'm interested in as well is a description of what it's like when you get the right plug. What does it feel like? How did you use it? Because sharing that information, again, adds to the knowledge base. That's the awesome thing about this podcast and about Pegging Paradise is because, boy, you listen to these podcasts, you learn so many different things from so many different people. So good luck with that and have fun, Jesse. Thanks for the question. And my next letter. This is from Perfect Storm. Good morning. Please forgive me, but I'm at a loss here. I've been searching the web for information on passion during pegging, how important it is, how it changes the perspective on pegging, how it brings people closer, anything. I'm finding next to nothing. When I say passion, I'm meaning the showing of the almost primal desire for someone, the kissing, touching, biting, etc. Not quite primal play, but showing pure desire. I've been pegging off and on for about 10 years, most of the time with playmates, rarely in a long-term relationship. I've noticed that the more passion there was between the two of us, the better the pegging was for us, especially me. I've only experienced one orgasm from pegging, and the passion between us was amazing. Months of build-up led to an explosive ending. But I still enjoy it because my partner does. But when I play with someone who has no passion, I feel like it's a job. I hate it. I'm bored. To me, it's like the old saying, fucking a dead fish. I know a lot of a person's passion comes from overcoming past traumas, communication, desire for someone, etc. Ideas on how to build it, how important it is, maybe a topic for a discussion or blog. Thank you ahead of time. You've been a tremendous help through your blogs, comments, and posts. Okay, for everyone listening that may or may not have been able to tell about this, this is a giver. Perfect Storm is a giver and identifies as female, and she wrote this to me and really got me thinking because, oh, this is a complicated subject. I totally agree with you. In my experience with pegging, it does parallel yours. There is nothing quite like a receiver who really cuts loose and wants me to just fuck him hard, or even if it's not a hard thing, that is very responsive. But, you know, parallels in this whole pegging formula can be made directly to just regular PIV sex. Exactly like you said, you know, you don't want to be fucking a dead fish. You want someone who's responsive. And yes, how much someone has been able to open up and enjoy and be expressive about their own sexuality and their own pleasure has a lot of effect on all of this. That's pretty much what sets the tone in terms of how expressive they're going to be, how much noise they're going to make, whether they're going to ask for what they want or just kind of lay there. I totally agree with you that when someone just lays there, it does get kind of boring. Usually my goal, I make my goal that I want to try and make them make a noise. Even in the pro work I do, that's what I do. Because sometimes when guys come to me in my pro work, they have a lot of inhibitions about what they want to explore or have explored or what they love. And after long periods of time of having that taboo reinforced all the time about how guys shouldn't like this, it takes a while first to overcome that. But then to really let yourself cut loose and make noises I mean, that can take a while. So here are some ideas that I have. Sometimes I make a game of it, okay? Sometimes I tell the guys, okay, I want to hear you make noises. And a lot of times I have them tied up. And I have a riding crop in my hand even sometimes. But not usually while I'm pegging them. Usually that's before. But I tell them I want to hear you make noises, any kind of noises. The noises at least gets their voice to open and start functioning. Personally, I have had the experience of feeling rather paralyzed and unable to express what I want, unable to make noise, unable to say anything while I was getting fucked. Really, really, really quiet, right? Now, I don't do that anymore. However, I know what that feels like, and it's really kind of paralyzing. So any encouragement on your part for your partners to, you know, you are maybe laying on top of them, thrusting into them and saying, okay, I want to hear how much you enjoy this. I don't care whether you use words or whether you use sounds, but I want to hear how much you enjoy this. And I don't know if you do BDSM or you do impact play, but it's kind of like, if I don't hear you, then I'm going to hop off of you, slip this out of your ass and start spanking you until I hear noises. So, I mean, that's a way you can do it if you've got BDSM involvement, but you may not. But even without the BDSM sort of playful threat, if you will, that can be a fun thing. And the encouragement of it is really, really powerful. The reason I suppose I envisioned it with that position is because when a receiver is laying face down and you are laying on top of them, first of all, it just feels really delicious and it feels sort of like they don't have a choice, which can indeed facilitate more expression because it's like, well, I guess I better just enjoy this because I don't have any choice that, you know, that I'm just going to get fucked. But also when you say those words and encourage them to start making noises and be more expressive, your voice can be right next to their ear because that position of laying on top of them puts your voice right next to their ear. And so that softly worded encouragement can be very, very powerful, spoken right into their ear. There's so many things that come into play with this. That's all sort of like conditioning, taboos, the trauma, the communication and all that. But think of it this way. What if your early sexual experiences all had to do, and this is very common, with doing it in secret and not making a whole lot of noise? Well, that trains you out of making noise, doesn't it? That trains you into being less expressive, lest you smack something up against a wall and wake somebody up, or you know what I mean? So that plays into it too. I totally hear that you are craving this level of abandon that I too have experienced and is really, really delicious. That's the word that keeps coming to my mind, is that it's delicious. Another idea I have is to have him ride you cowboy if he's able to do that, if that's a comfortable position for him, because that puts the control over the depth, the speed, the angle, and everything on him so that he can move in the way that feels the very, very best. Now, if he's a little embarrassed and doesn't want to do the eye contact thing, another really hot position that will still facilitate that is reverse cowboy. And that's actually a very good position for the bigger toys and things. But in both of those cowboy positions, he's basically fucking himself. Your partner is in charge of their own pleasure. So they really have no choice but to just go for it and move the way that feels best. So, you know, there's a voice aspect to this, and then there is a movement aspect as well. And both of them combine to produce that passion that you speak of, is what I'm imagining anyway. I'm not sure if I would collectively term that passion. I suppose that is what you can call it. I guess I prefer to call it abandon. And if you're unable to open up and allow yourself that level of expression, I suppose it is less passion. It is certainly expressed as less passion, but the best partners, the most fun guys to fuck, absolutely, are the ones that are really, really responsive, very responsive. And that's another word that I would put to it too, responsive or not responsive. For me, it's not like they have to be into like wrestling me or biting or things like that. And I know that you mentioned that wasn't quite what you were talking about as far as primal type of play. But just the responsiveness, you know, I push into them, they groan. Oh, it's so delicious. Whether it's this sort of really sexy slow pushing into them, or whether it's hammering away because they're begging me to fuck them. Yes, yes, yes. I am so with you 100% on this. If anybody else has any input on this, I totally welcome it, because it is a complicated subject, all the different reasons why you would not be as expressive as you could be while receiving sexual pleasure. I think that that is a common thing. And last but not least, I completely agree with you that the more responsive my partner is when I fuck him, the more abandon he shows, the more noises he makes, oh, the more that turns me on. Oh my God. As a matter of fact, when I'm surfing porn, sometimes I will put in the words gay and moaning. Seriously, because I watch gay porn all the time, right? I love gay porn. So the moaning part, big deal for me. Yeah, I really like partners who make noise. Mmm, yummy. So that's all the input I have. Everyone else who's listening, please feel free to write in and add any ideas that you may have. Thank you so much for the question and your kind words. I'm glad you've been enjoying the blog, the comments and the posts and all of that. And I love your name, Perfect Storm. Thank you. My next letter. Hi, Ruby. Something has happened and I'm scared. My friend and I got together last Monday. She fulfilled a fantasy that I've had since high school, and she wondered where all my passion came from. We switched from me topping her to a few orgasms, and then she pegged me for the second time in a new position. Pegged me really good for a long time, and I had a prostate release in her hand. It's like every sex fantasy I've had since grade 8 has been fulfilled. The third night we just cuddled and I helped her. We are both very taken with each other on both kink and love levels. Now the scary part. I've totally lost all my libido. No more porn every time I get the chance. No more dressing up and playing with myself. The interest is not there anymore. I can barely get an erection now, even when she is lying naked on top of me. I'm quite scared, Ruby. If you can shed any insight, thank you. And I'm not going to mention names here because this is very personal. So, sir, this is not the first time I've heard this. So this is the first reassurance that I can give you. I'm not sure why it happens, but I do know that when it does happen, in all the instances that I've heard of, it's simply a matter of time. One of the things that it seems like to me is that things just sort of have to balance out. If you sort of look at regular male sexuality as the masculine type of experience, and you look at pegging as tapping into a more feminine experience, then there can be a bit of a swing of the pendulum. This is my theory. So when you finally get all the way over there, like this beautiful experience that you described with your partner, then you're solidly over there, and maybe the libido wanes for a little bit, and maybe you can't get an erection, because this is absolutely described by other men as well. But with time, it all resolves itself. It's a matter of waiting it out, relaxing, not getting concerned about it, which I'm sure is easier said than done. Now, you wrote me this letter some time ago, and it's taken me a while to get to it. So I am hoping that by now the situation has resolved itself, and I would bet that it probably has. I would not be surprised if an experience of this sort that sounds so deep and delicious profoundly affected your sexuality, but it's not going to break you and make you lose your libido, and it's not going to break you and make you unable to get it up forever and ever. I've never heard of that happening. I've heard of it happening for a little while, and then it resolves itself. So the most of the reassurance that I have around that is that it does resolve itself eventually. In fact, I've answered this question before on the podcast. I'm going to see if I can find it. And if I can, I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama for you to listen to that. It might cover a couple of podcasts, because I remember I read it and then the guy wrote back and said that everything had resolved itself and it was all fine and it just took a little bit of time. So I would encourage you to just give it a little bit of time and it should all be okay. Seriously. Because you know how it is with erections. If you're concerned about getting one, it makes it 20 million times harder to get one. And I believe what Dan Savage says around this is with erectile dysfunction, if it's not medically caused, it's like Tinkerbell. You just have to believe. So if there's a way you can just take a deep breath and you have to believe, if there's a way that helps you to relax if you alter yourself a little bit, whether it's smoking a little pot, drinking a little liquor, that might be something you could try. But yes, I will reassure you that in every other case I've heard of this happening, and I have heard of a few, it's all resolved itself with time. So please do let us know what's happening now. I hope you're not scared. I hope it's all working perfectly fine and that you too are absolutely loving this whole pegging adventure you now find yourself on. That was the most beautiful thing to read that part about. It's like every sex fantasy I've had since grade 8 has been fulfilled. That's a huge statement, dude. It totally is. So congratulations just for that. Absolutely. Okay, thanks for the letter. Hi, Ruby. I really just wanted to say hi. I have discovered your podcast, and I'm making my way through them from 2014. I joined this site after my first pegging experience recently, so I could find others that are into it, too. I'm going to install a podcasting software onto my wife's phone, so she can benefit from your wealth of knowledge just as I have. At the end of the month, I will receive my annual savings from work, and a small amount is going to be spent on a Vixen Creations Mustang and some Slick with Silk lube. Just hearing you singing its praises this morning, actually while at work, via your podcast. Anyway, thank you for everything. Please feel free to read about our first time doing any anal at all, straight in at the deep end with the pegging. Turns out she loves it, and is one of the fortunate who can orgasm merely from the act of pegging me. If you want to read it out or anything, then that is fine with us. Thanks again. All the best from England. So, with this preface, clearly, what we have next is pegging celebration time! Hi guys, last night the wife and I had our first pegging experience. While browsing one day, I saw in the recently added section of the site I was on a video entitled "Girlfriend Mercilessly Pegs Bound Boyfriend" or something similar. Figured I would have a look. She gave him a proper going over, hot as fuck. Anyway, fast forward a couple of months, and we decide to start buying a few bits from Love Honey, nothing crazy. We never mentioned anything going near my bum before. Obviously, I have pestered the missus to let me have hers, haha. Then, when flicking through the offers, I see a strap-on set with a purple dildo. She loves purple, favorite color. I am sold, so I order it and wait. When it arrived and we had a little chat, I get a WhatsApp message from a very excited missus. She has put it on and instantly wanted it to happen. My eyes widen at the sight of her, holding it in her hand while wearing it. Anyway, last night we give each other a knowing glance. Once the kids are asleep, we get the room sorted so we are comfortable no matter where we end up. The missus goes upstairs to get sorted. I'm stripped and waiting in milliseconds. Mrs. walks in and looks awesome. Some lovely wet-look outfit, which is kinda like a topless vest, stockings, strap-on, and a wicked look on her face. She loves watching me stroke myself, and I was obviously super excited. In no time, she is lubing up a slim plug. Not a problem. For a total first-timer, it was fine. Both of us are beaming, and we continue to touch and play until she asks if I am ready to try the real thing. Oh, yes, I was. We started with missionary since I was already on the sofa. That was okay. We went slowly. The full feeling was the biggest sensation I was getting. No pain, though. We decided to try doggy. I looked at her and asked how she wanted me. Bent over the footstool was my answer. with plenty more lube and me guiding it in at first. Before I knew what happened, I was being fucked while my wife came hard. It was the hottest thing ever. She loved it so much that once she found her rhythm, it just went off. Again, we had started slow, but before I know it, I have her hands holding me down as I groan in ecstasy. What a night. We plan to do it again in a day or two. I don't want to wait. Oh my gosh. What a story. What a totally hot story. Wow. That is amazing. That is totally amazing. So in your story, I kind of kept waiting for the part where you told her about it, but you kind of gloss over that, right? You're like, okay, I see a strap-on set with a purple dildo and she loves purple, so I order it. And then you write, when it has arrived and we've had a little chat, I get a WhatsApp message from a very excited missus and she put it on and okay, but what happened when you told her? Because before that, you said, nothing had ever come near your bum before, so I'm just wondering how you broke this news to her, how you said, hey, I would really like you to fuck me with a strap-on. I was waiting for details, dude. You gave delightful details on a lot of the other stuff, which was gorgeously, beautifully, delightfully erotic. Very, very nice. But yes, I'm curious. I'm absolutely curious because it sounds like it just went without a hitch. No problem at all, which is wonderful. And yes, she is definitely one of the lucky ones. So thrilled for her that just fucking you gets her off. That is so cool. When you're just so excited about what you're doing, that kicks you right over the edge. I send heartfelt congratulations to you both. Well done. Well done. And I can hear your excitement. I don't want to wait, you say. Yeah, I'll bet. So I hope you two are having all kinds of fun. Thank you so much for the story and sharing it with us all. And congratulations once again. And then right on the heels of this, we have another pegging celebration time. I've been thinking about writing for some time, but didn't really know where to start. This is probably going to be long. So I'm male, 52, married for the second time, and straight. I'm a sexual assault survivor and a testicular cancer survivor. You can just call me Irregular Joe. I started wearing panties when I was around 8 or 9. I noticed that girls' underwear were different than mine and was curious why, so I put some on. That started a lifelong obsession with lingerie. It was something I felt a lot of shame about, so I hid it from everyone. It wasn't something I did again until I was in my teens and have never stopped. It's just a sexual turn-on, so I used it for masturbatory sessions. I told my first wife near the end of our relationship, but it wasn't something that we included in our sexual relationship, which ended soon after I disclosed to her. Ass play came along during my alone time, but not all the time. I was molested and sodomized by a stranger when I was 12 and carried emotional issues for many years, but eventually let go of it. The panty obsession was already there, so I don't think that the assault had anything to do with my sexuality, desires, or curiosity about ass play. I was diagnosed with embryonal carcinoma at 25 years old, lost my left testicle and the ability to ejaculate due to surgeries that damage the nerve that controls the sexual functions of my prostate. I orgasm, but nothing comes out. So that's me. I'm remarried, happily, to a wonderful woman. We have been together for 16 years, married for 11. I did not put my kink cards on the table with her like I should have, because I thought I could just purge my closet of lingerie and drop my fetish. Wrong. After a change of employment, I was working a second shift job for 2 years. We were only seeing each other for a few moments each day and on the weekends, where I was still mostly sleeping out of her schedule. We scheduled sex on the weekends, and it had become predictable and very, very vanilla. I wanted this to change and felt we were losing our connection. A new job came along and I'm back on day shift, but our sex life remained the same. I decided that every day I was going to kiss my wife not just a peck and an I love you, but a real long kiss of desire and loving passion. I was hoping this would help us rebuild our connection. It did. It really did. I started cleaning and cooking more for her and rubbing her feet after work, all in an attempt to get us back where we were. I drive a lot for this job and need something besides music to keep me from zoning out on the road, so searched podcasts for stories about panties, and your podcast came up, so I listened to it, and then a few more. I'm not sure which one it was, but you said to just tell your partner what you like, but suggested that telling your partner that you want to wear panties and get pegged might be too much. Best to take it slow and just bring up the pegging first. You gave me the confidence to bring it up. You made me realize that by hiding this part of me from her, I was being deceptive and wrong, that it was high time I faced my fear and myself. You convinced me that open, honest communication was what was required. I decided that pegging was a secondary interest and that lingerie was a bigger part of me than anal play. So we were sitting at the table after dinner talking, and our conversation turned to sex. I said it's now or never, and told her. She knew I liked lingerie. She just didn't know how much. Man, oh man, I should have said something sooner. Her reaction was wonderful. All those years of pleasure lost. In fact, her reaction was so positive, I told her I wanted to try pegging, too. I played podcast number 112 for her, and we were off to the races. That night, I ordered an Eneros Vice and some pink lacy panties. We shopped. I showed her the Tantus Curve, the spare parts Jacques harness, and Slickwood Silk lube. That night, she gave me a pair of her panties. I wore them. She was wetter than ever. She was into it. The Eneros arrived a few days later. I put it in, we played around. I got so turned on. She got in the cowgirl position and was riding me, making the Eneros Vice rub my prostate until it started to involuntarily contract. My back arched, my eyes rolled back in my head. I screamed, and she took my orgasm from me while she absolutely drenched me in her juices. Yes, she squirted. A day or so later, the Tantus Curve and Jacques harness arrived along with my new pink lacy panties. She didn't wear the harness, just used the dildo by hand. She jerked me while she fucked me until I orgasmed. When we were done, she had left the biggest wet spot ever on the bed. She was really getting off on taking my ass. A week or so went by. We were having sex almost every day. Regular sex, kinky sex, and her using a dildo on me. I bought a Tango Wee Vibe, and we both used it with orgasmic results for about a month. We are both talking about desires, fantasies, telling each other what we like and don't. So we put the harness on her one night, and she did it. She was careful, slow, and caring, asking if it was okay. We ended up in cowboy because I found that the Tantus Curve isn't quite long enough, as I have a nice ass, so I bought another Tantus, the Duchess. Oh my God, this thing put me at my limit. Now I am getting pegged regularly. I get to wear my favorite panties whenever I want, and my wife sends me texts all the time about how turned on she is and can't wait to get home and take me. So, Ruby, thanks. Thank you for showing me that there is nothing wrong with me. Thank you for showing me that communication and honesty were the key. All of this started with a kiss and a well-timed encounter with a random podcast. So my advice to all of your listeners who are scared and full of anxiety is to let it go. Kiss your partner like never before. Help her, care for her, and ask her to peg you. It's just that simple. Oh, and play that music, baby. Irregular Joe. Okay, this makes me so happy. And it makes me kind of cry at the same time. Because this is why I do what I do, you guys. This is exactly why I do what I do. Because there's so much shame out there. And once you let go of that shame, it opens you up to so much connection, so much togetherness, so much pleasure. And I tell you, there is no better job in the world than helping people find more pleasure in their lives and let go of their shame and communicate better and have better relationships. Oh my gosh, it is so, so satisfying. Irregular Joe, you were a genius to start with that kiss. I hope that all of the receivers out there listening really take note of that. Because in my experience, when I have a partner who comes up and lays one of those kisses on me, I am paying attention. I am absolutely paying attention. And it's a fucking turn on. Because yes, when you've been together with someone for a long time, those types of kisses are not the norm. You know, they're the unusual. And maybe they only happen with the scheduled sex. So what would it be like if when you usually come and give that little peck to your partner goodbye, if you just grab them and give them one of those kisses? And Irregular Joe, this is what you did. And it really is genius, because that kind of kiss makes you feel so desired. And that's exactly what's happening, is an expression of the intense desire that you have for your partner. And then to combine that with the catch-all phrase that I use is cleaning up your side of the street. And I don't mean to imply that your side of the street was dirty, but to do more for your partner. This falls right in line with that, keeping your partner as happy as you can so that they are then motivated to keep you happy as well and do the things that you enjoy. More importantly, and not to make it sound like it's a transactional type of thing, sort of like, I'm going to do everything I can to make you happy, and so then you should do the things that I want to try. It's more like it deepens the connection. It really does. You described it beautifully about how it took you back to where you were before when you had that awesome connection. And it's really common for sex to become pretty vanilla and predictable. So this was a genius way of breaking that pattern and getting back to where you were before. Good for you for taking stock of what your desires were and realizing that the lingerie was more important to you than the pegging. The lingerie was what you wanted to divulge first, and that went so well that you just went with it and said, hey, pegging too. Now, okay, everybody listening, there's never any guarantee that when you divulge things like this to your partner that they're going to be well received. And I know that that is the scary part. That's the risky part, right? But if they are well received, check out what Irregular Joe went through. The very first thing he expressed is, all those wasted years that we could have been enjoying this. And that's true. So still, I know that when you have so much involved in a long-term relationship, the scary part is divulging something like this and being rejected. Absolutely. And, you know, that is just such a horrible thing. There's different ways that that goes once you've been rejected for it. It can go to counseling. It can get resolved. The person can kind of step up to the plate, try it out, and discover that they really enjoy it. Or they can reject you for good and stay rigid in their beliefs that this is something that's taboo and they don't want anything to do with it, and they make all kinds of judgments about you. That can be just an awful, awful thing to go through. And I have received letters from guys who have done that, and now they're divorced and they found the partner of their dreams. So I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying it comes without risk, but Irregular Joe's courage in laying those kink cards out on the table after all of those years because he realized how important they were. Wow. Huge amount of courage, Irregular Joe. I can't even tell you how proud I am of you for doing that, because that is a huge step. It really, really is. And you phrased it so well. You said that I made you realize that by hiding that part of you from her, that you were being deceptive and wrong. And you know, this happens so, so much. It really does. I'm messing around on Bumble right now. It's a dating site, right? And this guy was so forthcoming with me about different things that he had experienced. And I expressed a lot of appreciation for that. I have not met him yet. We've just been sending messages back and forth. And he said, well, of course I'm going to be open and honest about this. It wouldn't be a good way to start if I wasn't. Oh, that's so refreshing, I can't begin to say, because if your sexuality is outside of the box, and most decidedly, everybody on this podcast is more or less outside of the box of what accepted normal sexuality is, whatever that word means, And when you're there, I think there's an all too present awareness that you are more likely to get judged at any turn if you throw those kink cards out on the table. But that's why it's so important to do it, because you don't want to be with someone who's going to judge you and tell you that you're wrong for loving the things that you love that don't hurt anybody and are sexy as hell, in my opinion. And if you do hide those things from your partner, you're really only letting them know you so much. You're not letting them know you on the deeper levels. That's what podcast number 112 talks about. When you tell your partner that you want something like this, when you tell them what turns you on and you share those deeper layers that are risky, that are scary because they are outside of the box, you're letting them know you better. You're giving them truly a gift of intimacy. So, Irregular Joe, wow. I wish I was there to shake your hand, dude. Well done. You guys sound like you're just having a ball in all the different definitions of that word. I love the vision that I have in your pink lacy panties. Gotta love those. Yum. And I'm imagining that you are slowly but surely getting your own little collection of panties in your drawer to enjoy whenever you want. How fun. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so, so much. And for making me cry. Oh my gosh. Congratulations, you two. I was happy to play the music for you. That's going to do it for this podcast. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blogs, my podcasts, my erotica, and the forum. Also, pegging101.com offers informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, and you can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. Or you can stream the podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check me out on MeWe, and my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from Entice Me, please remember to use that coupon code Ryder for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too obtuse, too original, or too overwhelming. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox, or you can call me at 805-500-6544. And let me please mention that the number, 805-500-6544, if you call that, basically what that line is for you to call and leave your message with your question. It's not a line where you can call and say, "Hey, Ruby, I've got questions. Call me," because that's not going to happen. So it's a message line, okay? I've gotten a couple calls like that recently, and I feel bad when you guys don't get a message back, okay? But basically, it's just a message line for your question. I'd be happy to answer your questions and put them in the podcast. But no, I'm not a callback, let's chat on the phone type of person with that number. That's called a private consultation. Okay, so yes, that is that. Thank you so much for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging, and #NoShame.